You are listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9 FM LP, in beautiful downtown Vashon on Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard, and
I'm Tom Conway, and it is a beautiful day here on the island.
We'll be your host today, and I hope you can pull up a chair and have some table talk with us.
That's right. Get some decaf,
yeah,
baby.
Get some decaf. It's time for decaf this afternoon.
Decaf or tea, if you must.
Yeah. And with us in the studio is the inimitable Mr. Chris Austin.
I'm inimitable.
Are
I'm
you?
Not inimitable.
Is it true you were headlining in Vegas?
I also think, we heard about you.
I think Chris, I feel like Chris has a whole other life somewhere where he's like in Vegas and he's...
That's why he's always so hard
bringing
to get
down the house.
On the weekends. Yeah. It's a weekend thing.
Yeah. Just that's a lot of flying around. Yeah. He does it. Well, we're going to keep tabs on you, Chris. Chris is running the board for us today because, as most of our listeners know, Tom and I have no talent in that regard.
You know, that's right. We'll just say we're the talent. How about that? We're the talent, which doesn't reflect you, Chris.
I don't like that saying.
That is really bad. Yeah.
You know, I always, back in the corporate world, when they would talk about the actors, or I always got offended when they said, "So where's the talent? You know, mm-hmm. is the talent here yet?" And I know it's a term that everyone uses, and I'm probably the only one that gets offended by it. But it seems
a little pompous.
The talent.
Yeah. Well, if it's any consolation, then there are other places where they don't regard the talent whatsoever.
In any way.
You know, so, like especially creativity, they kind of look at that as a soft. In one of my jobs over the last 30 years, that I had one boss referred to my writing skills as a soft, what do you call it? And not because my writing was bad, I'm assuming. No, it was just that, like, that was a creative thing. It was a soft skill.
Oh, you that's know? Nice, yeah. isn't it? As opposed to a hard skill.
This is why people shouldn't go into corporate jobs.
I know. And when I think about that, describing something, one time I was in a gathering in business, and this guy was sitting next to me, and he turned to me, and he looked at me, and I could tell he was trying to flirt with me, and I was not interested. And then he said, "You know, you have industrial beauty." And I...
You're okay. Like a droid or something?
Was this like a tank?
What? Yeah. Where are my rivets? Want to see my rivets?
I just thought, what? Anyway, that's way off topic, Tom.
It is, but way I think you started topic. It. Or no, did I? You? Well, who knows? It doesn't matter, does it?
Let's just blame you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, how are you, Tom?
I'm good. I just sprinted over here from being out in my orchard and checking out things, doing some pruning and watering, and enjoying this gloriously sunny day.
I'm loving these sunny days we're getting now.
Yeah, it's such
still
a
cold.
Treat. Yeah,
it was 37 this morning.
It was chilly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
I had to get on my tattered waffle. What do you call them? Waffle, like a thermal underwear thing.
Oh yeah,
like a waffle sweatshirt.
Yeah,
holds in.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
You big baby.
I was.
Yeah.
Go brr.
Yeah. So, what are you pruning?
I was pruning. What I do sort of this year is I do an earlier prune for things that are kind of out of control. Mm. And then when things start to leaf out, I go through and I look at what's dead and I prune out dead branches. And, you know, it really...
That's a big job at your place.
Yeah. And then, of course, what I do is I don't pick it up. And then my neighbors get to hear me running over with my mower for a nice 2 hours.
You know? All season.
And I have earphones on, so I don't really hear it.
Oh,
and
then
every one of them I see, they go like, "Geez, what are you running over there?" I go, "Was it noisy?" And they go, "Was it noisy?"
Just a couple branches.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not a big deal.
How about you? What have you been up to, kiddo?
You know... I think I've been really busy, but I can't delineate what it is I've been doing. Been taking care of some dogs, doing that.
Well, gosh, I'm assuming you have a family.
I do have
so
a family.
You probably did something Easter.
I did. I had a wonderful Easter weekend. My kids came over, one from Seattle and two, my son and daughter-in-law from Seattle and my son from Portland. His wife couldn't come because she got brand new baby chickens. And she had to stay home, take care of the chickens.
Yeah, so, they are not.
I mean, they're not very self-sustaining.
There's no self-care there.
No, they can't just be by themselves. So
it's like give them a day and they die, you know.
And my granddaughter and her new boyfriend came. Well, he's not new anymore, but he came. And so we had a big weekend, a lot of brunchy things and walks in the
Do they like Vashon?
They love Vashon. Oh, how can you not love Vashon?
You know, especially because they're your kids, I would assume they do because they're gifted. But other
of course
people,
they are.
Other people, sometimes they're just like, you know, is that they do that like that Peggy Lee song? Is that all there is?
Is that all there is? No, the kids like it. You know, there's always something different to do. Of course, Sebastian, Emily's boyfriend, hadn't seen the patrol yet, so we had to do that.
Always. Makes me happy no matter how many times I go see him.
Me too.
He's
and
great.
I see something different every time I go. That was on Saturday, and there were a lot
was
of people
there,
down
were
there.
Were there hordes?
Well, not hordes. I wouldn't say hordes,
yeah.
But I rather like going early in the morning or late in the afternoon.
Yeah,
because then nobody's
too.
There.
You know, that's kind of true with life in general. Like if you show up early or, you know, if you're an early riser, man, you really do get the worm. It's
you really do.
You
and
know,
I
anything
am.
Before 10, you're pretty much set to.
Yeah, especially on Vashon, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, there wasn't any traffic.
Although on Vashon, this is where you sound like, as you go, like, I have to start writing stuff down to where, am I sounding like an old man?
yes.
But I went to something this last week, and it was like, people, get there on time. And so everyone is waiting, and we're just waiting. Like, we have to wait for these clowns that have no, there's no expediency, you know, and you can tell that I like to be on time,
oh,
obviously.
I do, always. Yeah.
But I was just, I thought then I had to go to my, like, I did my tree pose and I went, oh, this is okay.
Be like the willow.
I was cool. And then I didn't mind waiting another 15 minutes for them to start. But
yeah, I don't know. That's
It is a Vashon thing. It was also when I lived in Alaska, totally an Alaska thing. Like, I knew that if the movie started at 6 or if there was a performance at 6, if I got there at 1:45, I could pick any seat.
All
I
by
wanted.
Yourself.
Yeah.
All by yourself. Well,
exactly.
It's that way with the movie theater. It's that way with the opera. Any of it, you know, it starts at 7 o'clock. And at 5 to 7, you're saying, well, geez, did they sell any tickets?
Exactly.
And then 3 minutes till or 2 minutes till, hordes come in.
Exactly.
In flannel shirts and caps and.
Hey girl.
There we are. Yeah.
That's right. It's not like the New York opera, which we used to, you know, like I'm acting like I went. I've never been, but
you saw pictures.
In my mind I have been. And I had little opera glasses too.
Well, we used to dress up for everything.
Oh, totally.
But nobody does anymore.
Rarely. I have a great picture of my great grandfather in the most dapper 3-piece suit with his pocket watch chain feeding the chickens.
Oh my God.
I don't know what that was about, but
well, it must have been Sunday before church, probably.
Could be. It probably was.
It probably was. Yeah. Yeah. So we were gonna talk maybe about anything new we've cooked or anything new going on in the kitchen this week. Did you have any?
Yeah, for sure. In fact, I was thinking I wanted to toss the ball back to you because you told me about something. I don't know if you remember, but it was a casserole you made for Easter that sounded really good.
Oh, yeah. I found a recipe. I love these things that you can put in the fridge at night, let it sit overnight, and then just pop it in the oven, and you have a beautiful something. And I've made lots of them over the years. I haven't made one for, I don't know, a few years. But
if I go in the fridge in the next morning, will I be a beautiful something?
Can you fit in the fridge?
Oh,
there's that.
Oh my God! Yeah, I could. I have shells I can remove. Yeah.
Yeah, we could try that.
This is my last show.
This is a I don't know what it's called. It's in New York Times. I think it's just called croissant casserole or something. Well, yeah, Tom, look it up.
I'll look it up.
But anyway, it's, you know, those casseroles that are overnight with eggs and cream and cheese and all that kind of stuff. This one uses croissant instead of just regular bread. And it has Italian sausage and some shallots and some Gruyere and some...
Here you go.
What is it?
Well, I love it. I love the title. It just tells you what you need to know.
What's it say?
Buttery breakfast casserole, I think.
Yeah, it's very buttery. And, of course, it has butter in it and heavy cream.
Yeah, and it has it's a 5-star, baby.
It is so good.
And those New York Times readers are stingy with their stars.
Yeah,
so that's pretty good.
Yeah, they usually have much more criticism than stars.
Exactly.
But, oh, man, was it good. And when I looked at it late in the evening, it was in the fridge and it looked kind of flat. I thought, oh, man, this is going to be dry and awful. I shouldn't have trusted it. I should have done an old recipe, an old tried and true.
Sure.
You know? And I thought, well, it's too late now. So I put it in the oven the next morning, and it puffs up to the most beautiful, puffy, big tent kind of looking dish. And it's crusty on the top because the croissants get all kind of crusty, toasty, and creamy inside. And it was a big hit. It was really good. So
And it takes a pound of croissants.
A pound. Instead of 12 or 16, they ask for a pound. So
I'm going to start looking. I'll start looking at the stale section at Thriftway.
Well, you know, I looked at I looked for croissants because I certainly wasn't going to make them, and they didn't have any. But I got some from Seattle Baking, and they were really good. I could tell they'd been frozen.
Where's that?
Well, they were at Thriftway.
Oh, okay.
In the baker section, you know, they were in a box, and I looked at them, and they said how much they weighed. And I think they were 12 ounces, so I got two.
Did you have to dip into your retirement?
Almost. It was an expensive. I mean, it's expensive.
It's an expensive dish, yeah.
It is. But it was Easter, you know?
No, exactly.
And a house full of people.
Yeah. And you're a mom.
And I'm a mom, yeah.
We expect greatness from moms.
Well,
we do.
You can probably get it sometimes. And sometimes, sometimes not so great. Sometimes it's, oh, go fix it yourself. What are you cooking? Although I'm fortunate in that both my sons like to cook.
Yeah.
And they're married to women who like to cook. So there's always something good going on in the kitchen in their homes.
You know, it is that breakfast, whole breakfast casserole thing. I forget about that. So I'm glad you brought it up because I definitely will make that because it was really great. And this is where I do my sad face because, you know, I live alone.
And you should have been invited.
I should have been. No, that's fine. I just had the heat on in my sweats. And
well, stop.
had all the curtains closed. It was dark.
Yeah.
So
you're going to make one?
Well, yeah, because, you know, what's great is you can freeze it. You can make it, cut it up, and then you have your little.
Oh, after it's done.
After it's done. So you have says, so it's heavy.
Well, we ate it all. Well, I think there were two pieces left. But the key to this one is the Italian sausage. It's not breakfast sausage. It's Italian sausage. The recipe calls for sweet Italian sausage, which I thought, so I bought spicy, hot Italian sausage. And it was just delicious. Loved it. And then, you know, can we talk about meringue for a minute? Because I made a lemon meringue pie.
Oh, yeah.
For Easter Sunday as well. And I know that we've had a discussion before about pies in general and about meringue. And I'm a fan of the old-fashioned meringue that you just whip up and then bake it for a little bit in the oven. You, however, are doing Swiss or Italian meringues, which are a little bit different. And what I've done Swiss. I've not done Italian. I've done Swiss, but I've only used it on cakes, like to, you know, make a beautiful frosting for a cake.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of times buttercream recipes, buttercream icing recipes require a cooked meringue.
A cooked meringue,
yeah.
So tell me about these two different meringues that you make.
Yeah, okay. So a French meringue, we'll just start from that. A French meringue is basically egg whites whipped into a froth with sugar, and then the more you whip them, they get what they call soft peaks or hard peaks.
And that's what I do.
And
I
that's
regular old-fashioned meringue.
And that's usually what you find on a lemon meringue pie.
Right.
And then a lot of times people then will broil or bake the top so it has a nice
Or you can use a torch.
The torch is the best way. You get really accuracy.
And you can really sort of design which one needs to look a little darker.
Exactly.
You know, it's just kind of fun that way. I didn't use the torch this weekend, but I have used the torch.
Yeah, I've got a torch in my tool chest that I use that is always...
It's really fun.
It's great.
I think everybody should have a torch.
And it requires the utmost patience and diligence in moving toward the meringue.
Oh, yeah, because you can do it.
You don't want to rush it or else it looks like a mud pie.
then you get that burnt marshmallow thing
exactly.
going on.
Yeah.
So, and I've heard you describe that type of French meringue as too marshmallowy, which is why you don't prefer it, correct?
Yeah, I think it's a little too, I think it's okay. But I guess
I think it's okay too.
You know, I don't want to poo-poo the lemon meringue pies around the world. But what's really great about that's a frothy meringue, and it's a fresh meringue, and you know, you don't cook the eggs. Not that if you have good eggs, you don't have to, you know. But
no, but they cook in the oven.
Yeah, they that's true. They do.
Yeah.
But the other one, so an Italian meringue is probably I think that one's the most stable. And and what you're doing is, I'm pretty sure it's the most stable. And what you do is you make a sugar syrup and you heat it to a softball stage. So it requires...
In a double boiler, right? Water? This is not done over water?
That's a different one.
Because that's the only other one I've done is over the water.
Yeah, that's a Swiss meringue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the Italian meringue, what you do is you heat the a saucepan with sugar until it gets to be about 236 or 240, and then you pour it into gradually beating egg whites, and that heat cooks the eggs, and they're really glossy.
Oh, and so tell me, do you have how different are the peaks?
What's really great is if you want to pipe it, and make it more decorative, like just anything in the attachment shows, you get beautiful ridges and, if you want it to be, if you're decorating a cake, you get those same shapes depending on the little tip you use. And, there's a real body to it. There's a real substance to it. I really like it. And then Swiss meringue is a little easier. It's also pretty much like this, but a little less stable. Uh-huh. You do what you were talking about. You put your eggs over water, and let me make it. I forget we're on the radio. That. You take a bowl.
You can see all the gestures going on.
Exactly, like a say a stained glass. Stained glass bowl.
Not a stained glass.
Did I say stained glass?
Yeah, God, you mean stainless steel.
God, I'm
you
going
cook
home
with stained
now.
Glass?
Stained glass bowl. Oh my God, that worries me. Stainless steel bowl.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you feel free to correct me because
I will.
I think I need it.
You know
today.
I will.
A stainless steel bowl, stained glass. That's funny. And then you put your egg whites in there. And one thing you have to remember, you don't want to get any protein, like an egg yolk, in your egg whites because they don't beat.
At all. In any of these meringues.
It goes, doing it. It's a real truth in cooking.
And so these days, that makes for an expensive dish.
It does.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what you do with this is you stir the sugar and the egg whites together in the stainless steel bowl over that's sitting on top of a saucepan with boiling water.
Right.
And then, let's see, what else can I tell you?
You just keep beating it.
Yeah, what you do is you just keep beating it, and then when it's, I kind of think what I usually do is when it's warm to the touch, without burning your finger, and then you put it in, a mixer,
in the stand mixer, or use a hand mixer or something. Yeah, yeah.
Just so anyway,
it's almost warm.
Those are all
the
meringues.
So the stability factor is really important, I think, and that's why it works so well in buttercream. I think for
exactly.
a cake. But it was interesting because I've never had this happen before, and I've been making lemon meringue pies since I was a kid, basically. And always the same meringue. But this one was beautiful, and it didn't weep. Humidity's
I saw a picture. It's lovely.
Humidity's
I saw a picture from far away.
I know. And there was none left.
I never had any hopes of getting any. Anyway, those were dashed the minute you posted the photo.
But I want to tell you this.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah.
So the pie was beautiful, and it was delicious. And then there were two pieces left at the end of the meal. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of sat there for a while and I didn't pay much attention to it. I mean, there's never any lemon meringue pie left, so I wasn't paying any attention to it. And a few hours later, I walked by and it had started to shrink, which it does away from the crust because it didn't when we were eating it. Mm-hmm. And then when I tasted some a few hours later, the meringue was like foamy kind of. It changes texture when it sits around. So that's what you're talking about when you say stable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like the Swiss meringue, you can, the last one we talked about over the stained glass bowl, the stainless steel bowl, that one's really good for putting on parchment paper and baking and getting a crisp layer.
Yes.
Like if you want, like a Pavlova or
meringue cookies.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the good one for that. That's right. So, and the other thing, we mentioned eggs.
Yeah.
Let's talk about eggs for a minute.
Sure.
And I think you're a lucky man in that you have your beautiful chickens who are happy to provide you with tons of beautiful eggs.
Yes.
And I was wondering, when was the last time you made deviled eggs?
Well, funny you should mention. It was this week I went.
Oh,
I
really?
Went, yeah, it was. I made.
Me too.
It was funny. I went to. I had to. I was delayed going to an Easter brunch, when I got there, it was pretty much, you know,
done.
The animals had eaten. No, yeah. it was great. Everyone, it had pretty much was through when they were eating dessert and stuff, mm-hmm. but there were two deviled eggs left. And it's like, of course, the hostess said, those are for you. And I go, God bless you.
Yeah.
So I love them and I made them. Aren't so then I came home, you know, and made them
Did
myself.
You?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you make yours?
Well, mine are sort of, I just, sort of the part of the technique is, you know, boiling the egg, like mm-hmm. everyone has, mm-hmm. there's always some sort of issue with boiling eggs and getting them to peel. Mm-hmm. And I don't find I have any trouble if I just put the eggs in the pan, cold water mm-hmm. in the pan, and I bring the water up to a little bit over the egg, like a half inch. Mm-hmm. And then I turn on. And it goes from, you know, from the cold state to the boiling state. And when the water's boiling with the eggs in it, I just put a lid on it and I shut it off mm-hmm. and I wait 12 minutes is what mm-hmm. the friend who showed me this mm-hmm. technique. And so I wait 12 minutes and then I pop them in ice water mm-hmm. for at least 5 minutes, mm-hmm. 5 to 10.
That's really similar to how I do it. I do it a little bit differently. I don't put a lid on it.
Mm-hmm.
I put them in cold water and I always add salt to the water. I don't know why, but my mother did, so I do it.
Mm-hmm. And some people even add vinegar.
Vinegar.
I'm not sure why.
Which they think helps keep the eggs from cracking in the water.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
no, I mean, I'm not buying it because I've heard that over the years. I'm going,
You think I'm a liar?
No, I mean, I'm color me skeptical.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
I mean, I don't put the vinegar in. Anyway, so then I take it off the burner and let it sit for about 15 minutes, but mm-hmm. I don't cover it. Then what happens is I empty the water. And put them in a container of some kind, put them in the fridge overnight.
Oh.
And I had fresh eggs this time, you know, and there's that whole conspiracy theory out there that you have to have old eggs and that's what makes them peel.
Uh-huh.
That fresh eggs don't peel. I'm telling you, these eggs, well, I got them from Heidi Skrypek, so, you know, they were quite wonderful.
They're fresh.
They're really fresh. Yeah. And not one of them messed up. Not one. They all just sort of slipped out of the shell. It was fabulous.
That's a testimony to your process. And I'll start doing that. I usually have really good luck, but I get maybe one or two. But I like that idea of overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not banging them around, cracking them.
No.
You just leave
just
them
whole.
Just
letting them sit and they get nice and cold. And,
okay.
And there's no gray around the yolk if you do it that way.
Oh, that sounds good.
Which is good. And so then in mine, I put some mayonnaise. You know?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, and this time I put some cornichon and some, a little bit of onion or shallot, something like that. Some parsley. I think that's about it. A little pickle juice.
Yeah, mine are pretty classic, you know.
Uh-huh. A little mustard.
Yeah, just a little mustard. A little Tabasco. I'm not a hot, I don't like heat, but I like a little bit.
I was looking at a recipe for... Just wondering what people are doing with deviled eggs these days, because mm-hmm. everybody says, oh, there's so much work. And I actually think they're kind of fun to make.
Yeah.
But there's a recipe for sriracha
deviled eggs. That sounds good.
Yeah. And it does sound good. But I thought, you know, I'm just going to be disappointed because I want a real
classic,
deviled egg,
yeah.
You know?
So. Do you know that you just made me think of one that I had once as an appetizer that was great and kind of different, but a really... Like, here's our easy appetizer, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
sometimes when you feel like, when you, this is one of my beefs, I'm like if you're going over to someone's house and you know, we're potluck island,
mm-hmm.
and I don't mind bringing stuff over, but you don't have to make me bring something over if you don't really need me to bring
right,
something over.
Right.
And like, people are fishing for stuff to bring you over, and when they, this is how I know they don't know me,
because
okay. the last thing I want to make is an appetizer.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
when they go like, well, can you bring an appetizer? And I go, you know, and I that's mm-hmm. that's in my head. And my mm-hmm. outside, I'm going, oh yeah, sure.
Of course, happy to.
So, but the one that I would do for a while, because it was good, and I had all the stuff, but mm-hmm. if you just basically make your deviled eggs like you make them,
mm-hmm.
but just add about 3 tablespoons or 1/4 cup of for 6 eggs or 12 halves, for the filling, you add like 3 or 4 tablespoons of chutney, like spicy chutney, uh-huh. and you put that mm-hmm. in with the eggs, and then you put that in. It's really good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was yummy.
That sounds really good. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that's what I have to say about that. Speaking of chutney.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you wanted to talk about grilled cheese.
Well,
speaking of chutney,
you know, chutney, I love chutney.
I know.
Well, that was because, just so a little background, as Linda posts stuff all week that she's eating,
that I'm making, I'm maybe not eating at all.
Oh, no?
Well, probably
not. Throw it out the window?
Well, I don't eat the whole cake.
Okay. No, there was the coconut cake, but I didn't even bring that up.
Yeah.
But there was, she made a grilled cheese sandwich that looked really good. And I thought, I wonder what, you know, people are purists with the stuff they grow up with. Like, what do you use for your cheese and your mm-hmm. bread and mm-hmm. that stuff on your grilled cheese?
Well, I don't do it like I did when I grew uh-huh. up, you know, because that's American cheese.
And Wonder Bread.
And Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
I have found...
Yet there's something fabulous about it.
Well, sometimes you got to have one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you order one out, that's what you're going to probably get.
Cut diagonally.
Mm-hmm. Yes, always cut diagonally. So what I have found with regard to bread, and I hope I'm not insulting all of the wonderful bread bakers we have on Vashon, but I am very loyal to Grand Central Bakery's Como bread for grilled cheese.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
And I didn't know this until a couple years ago, but someone told me that how to make the grilled cheese better and make it crispier on the outside is you butter the inside of the bread, and then you put the cheese on, and then you make the sandwich, and then you put mayonnaise on the outside instead of butter.
Huh.
And it does. It really does make the bread crispier than the butter does.
Interesting.
And the kind of cheese I like, my favorite, I guess, is Tillamook medium cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I have found with sharp, which I love, is that it doesn't melt as nice. It doesn't get as melty and gooey and stringy, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering what you use because... Yeah,
It oozes.
Yeah. I think a Havarti makes
Havarti.
A great
Havarti.
Grilled cheese and
Gruyere.
And Gruyere.
Yeah.
And
but those are fancy ones, and I don't
okay, often... less fancy. Colby Jack, good.
Yes, Colby Jack is great.
But you know what the Conway family did? See, we used to think everybody did. I'd go to other people's house and I would just sit there with my mouth up and going, I can't believe they don't do what we did.
They don't do it right.
They don't do it right.
Yeah.
I just thought it was normal with grilled cheeses. At the time, like I use other jellies or jams, mm-hmm. but at the time you use Welch's grape jelly, and you put it on top. You made your grilled cheese. Mm-hmm. It came off the griddle, and you cut it, and then you took a spoonful of Welch's grape jelly, and you put it on the outside.
I've never had that, but that's akin to like a Monte Cristo.
Yeah,
and Monte Cristo has a little meat in it, but mm-hmm. that sweet jelly with the cheese and
it's like we're in France.
Yeah, I could eat that.
Maybe that was our way of like being highbrow.
Well, it probably was.
It was like fruit and cheese.
Well, you know, grape jelly was really big back in that day. Remember the little little meatballs that were done with grape jelly? And
absolutely.
Those, I don't know what else was in there. Ketchup or Heinz, something. Cocktail sauce, something. I don't know.
But it was grape jelly. Those nasty little wieners.
Those little sausages. Vienna sausages. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's my story about grilled cheese. And I don't make them very often because, oh, my Lord, they're fattening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really have any more to say, but I know what.
Yeah.
Was the chutney part. Because occasionally I like chutney on my grilled cheese, whether it's a, you know, Major Gray's hot mango.
What's that stuff you liked from Australia?
It's actually from Britain.
Oh, Britain, sorry.
Branston pickle. And I brought some for you because you didn't know what it was.
No. Oh.
And I even brought a spoon so you can taste it.
You are the full meal deal. I brought pearl knives, but that's fine.
Oh, aren't you cool? So Branston pickle, I don't know if you know all y'all out there know about it, but it's like a chutney, but it's a sweeter kind of... It's got rutabagas in it and carrots and raisins, and it's just a tiny bit'll do ya. It's quite tasty.
Is that too much?
No, that's okay. Good. That's good. And it's really good on grilled cheese.
It's really good. It's really good.
Yeah. It's a vinegary kind of...
And salt-ridden.
Mm-hmm. And then what else it's good on is...
Oh, it just cleared my nose.
any kind of, it's like a condiment. It's just like using any other chutney, except it's not chutney. And it goes on sandwiches. It goes on some grilled chicken. It'll go on anything you want. And now Tom has dragged out a jar of...
I denounce that verb you used.
There's a cardboard box sitting here, and he's dragged out...
I have things in it.
Something green and wilty-looking, and I would say it looks like kale.
Okay, let me describe it. It is as fresh as a spring day. So if you have kale and you let it grow over winter, it wants to bloom... It's really good about overwintering. And
oh,
so,
or broccoli. Is it broccoli?
No, but it looks like broccoli, but yeah. It has these little tiny blossoms. So even if you're not a fan of kale, what's surprising is this is fantastic. The little shoots that come out here, I'm going to let you try some.
Thank you.
I mean, but the little shoots that come out of the side with little buds that are going to turn into flowers, I think are almost, okay, dare I say, I think it's almost better than asparagus, quite frankly. It has just a really sweet flavor, and you can do it.
Just eat the whole.
Yeah, just top? Eat. You got it, sister. Isn't it sweet? Isn't that crazy? Mm. And it's really tender, not stringy.
No, I've had it in salads.
Yeah, it's really good. You can saute it or eat it fresh. The other thing is, you can treat it like asparagus on the plant, where you just go down and you bend it. You know, bend it, and it breaks wherever it breaks. It's tender.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get Chris to try some? I need a third party.
Chris isn't paying attention. He doesn't know what it is. It's kale. Are you a green vegetable
guy?
It's
a kale blossom. What? It's rare.
And you eat the top.
Eat the top. Okay.
Eat the top.
Yeah, just
helps.
Take a big bite of it.
Just like that. So it's not stringy or awful, I promise.
It's quite flavorful.
Isn't that good?
Tastes like chicken.
Why did we give him one?
Why did we give him? What is he doing here?
Actually, it came out of a lab. It's kale chicken. It's a combo flavor.
It's an all-meat plant. But no, it's yummy.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah, so if you have kale plants and you don't, even if you like kale or don't like kale, you know, stick it out. Let them grow.
It doesn't taste like kale.
No, it doesn't. Uh-uh. It tastes like...
It's really sweet.
It's sweet.
Yeah.
So kale blossoms or florets, you probably will see them in the farmers markets coming up because it's a good thing. It's kind of like a little broccoli rabe almost, but sweeter.
Yeah, I like it.
I just thought
very
I'd bring...
Very much. Well, thank you. And that's
you,
nice.
And now you have
you
a beautiful arrangement.
Back to the box.
You have a beautiful arrangement to look
That'll
at.
That'll be nice. I'll use this for a centerpiece tonight.
Mm-hmm. Or you could sauté it.
I could.
Sauté your centerpiece.
I bet it would be good, like, you could sauté it like spinach and put it in an omelet.
For sure, for sure.
I bet that would be good.
Oh, do you know what?
What?
I was minding my own business. You had just left. You just left my place.
What?
Sorry, she's signaling to me, and I can't tell.
No, I'm not signaling.
Okay,
to you.
Okay, what are you telling me?
Signaling to Chris.
So anyway, sorry for the gap, gang. I was trying to remember. I was having a senior moment. Oh, so anyway, I was talking to Linda this morning in person at my house, and we were sort of going over the show. And then she left. And then I had another friend. And then she left. That didn't sound right, but you know what I mean.
In a huff.
Like, ugh. But then another friend showed up who was walking her dog in Island Center Forest.
Mm.
Specific area not discussed because she brought me mushrooms, oyster mushrooms.
Oh, no.
And they were really beautiful.
Oh.
Now, I just had a few questions like, have you eaten these yet?
How are you feeling?
Did you? Exactly. And she had. And I said, did you pick them in the same place where you ate the other ones? She goes, yes. And I said, and are you knowledgeable of mushrooms? And she goes, yes, I am. I said, okay. And fourth, was there a third party that tried these?
You big chicken.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure. I think we're on good terms. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's what's for dinner tonight.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to pan saute them in butter.
Yeah.
And maybe do like a little pasta-y thing, you know?
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, maybe a little orzo, mushrooms, caramelized onions, something like that.
Well, you should invite somebody.
I don't have enough.
Oh.
Whew, hint, that was hint. Close. Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
I have some questions.
I'd like to see what else is in my box.
Oh, you've got more in the box?
Yeah, but I can wait.
No, it can go. Let's talk about
then
the box.
Then I thought I would share. This is my other show and tell. It is rose geranium, strawberry rose geranium jam.
Here. That looks delicious.
And I even have one for our fabulous
Chris.
Get your
fancy little knives. What are these, mother of pearl shell deals?
Yeah, yeah. We're fancy on Beale Road. But what infuses the flavor, it's really crazy, is scented geranium leaves. And they're a rose geranium.
That's really good.
Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to share that.
So you just take like a regular geranium. I mean, you want to make sure it's organically grown, I'm sure.
No, you don't do a regular geranium. They have specific ones called scented geraniums.
Okay.
And it's one called a rose scented geranium.
So then you just... put that in with the juice?
Yeah, you just steep it in while you're making the jam, mm-hmm. and it releases.
And then strain it out?
Yeah, it's crazy because it has more of a rose flavor than roses do.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That was my other show and tell. Oh,
I
have one
more. I get to take that home too?
Sure, I'll let you take that home. Fine.
Thank you.
You bet.
I need some.
Need some jam. Sorry, Chris.
I need some for my Como bread.
We just use you and throw you away. and then I have, this is my other show and tell. This is a bergamot. I grew this in my greenhouse.
You did?
Yeah. You want to smell it?
I don't know. I'm not.
Well, you got to tell you, rub it a little bit.
I'm not a fan of bergamot.
Are you sure?
Well, I don't know. I don't like it in tea.
I think you might not like it in tea, but that's different. It doesn't. I don't think what you're getting in tea is.
Oh my!
The fresh thing's different.
It smells really good. So what are you going to do with that?
Make jam.
And for the audience, it looks like a little kind of. It's the shape of a pumpkin.
It's about the mandarin orange size.
A mandarin orange size, and it looks like a little mandarin lemon.
Yeah, and it has like a yellow gold color.
Oh, it smells so good. It smells really fresh and floral. So what are you going to do with it?
So I think make some jam.
Are you?
Yeah, it has a ton of seeds in it. It'll be the first time I've made it, so we'll see how it goes.
And so your tree is in the greenhouse?
It is.
And how's it doing?
Actually, this one I brought into my house because it was so ornamental.
Oh.
And, it bloomed and it smelled so good.
Well, you're quite the gardener.
Yeah.
I mean, you really are. I'm kind of amazed every time I see your place because I see something new. I love the tulips that you grew this year that are so, they don't even look like tulips.
Those are, yeah, those did a nice.
What's the name of those?
Tulips.
Tulips?
No. Oh, I have some that are what they call a species tulip.
The
which
one
is,
by the door.
Oh,
by
that's
the front
a species
door.
Tulip called a flame tulip or I think a Turkish tulip. They have super pointy petals.
Long, slender, pointy petals.
And the good thing about those is they come back every year. Like the more domesticated ones that are the big old things you see, they're great, but they tend to weaken and not bloom after a year or two.
You know, I have a little story to tell kind of off the beaten path here, but I'll tell, you already know it. I haven't told you the story, but anyway, I went into Minglement last week. I think it was last week, maybe it was the week before. And I just had to get some coffee and I wanted to have a cup of coffee and get a pound of coffee. And so I did that and I was looking around, you know, you always run into somebody that you know there.
Is that when you ran into me? I'm sorry.
You're ruining my story.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
So I look around, and here's Tom and Mary Liz sitting, crunching in the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm crunching kale. I'm riveted to the story. I'm in the doghouse here. Linda, I'm going to get you guys, I mean, I'm going to get yelled at. That's like when Mom and Dad come home when she goes
quit
off air.
Crunching in the microphone.
Okay, I'm going to quit doing it right now. Sorry.
Okay. Anyway. I just have to say to the listening audience that here are these two people, both of whom I know, sitting at a table in the back corner with a pad of paper and pencils, and they are just having the most intense conversation. And I thought, oh, I don't think I better interrupt. I was going to say hi, and I don't think I better interrupt. And then Tom saw me, and he said, oh, come on over. You know, you're welcome to sit with us. So I went over. They were talking gardening. And it was, I don't know if you were talking about the plot or where you were going to put things or what's time to do, but the intensity of the conversation was quite lovely to behold because I, as you know, am not a gardener. And so to see and know people who garden with every bit of their soul engaged in the process is just so much fun.
Oh, that's good.
So I... you know a little bit about the VCA, Vashon Center for the Arts, garden show.
Oh, yeah, the annual garden tour.
And that's in June.
Yeah, it's on solstice weekend, 21st of June, and I think the 22nd of June.
Because I know Mary Liz said that's what she was getting ready for.
Yeah.
She's just killing herself.
she's on the tour.
In the garden, she's on the tour, yeah.
Yeah, there are, what's fun about the tour is she's on the tour. She has she and her husband, Terry, they have a beautiful garden. Just right up on Morgan Hill. I think we jokingly say it's the best garden out of sight. You don't even know it's there until you find it, and then you go, holy moly.
So is that off Elisha Lane?
Yeah, just right down, a little bit down from that. And then there's also another friend of mine, Dustin Schulte and Alan Rose. They've got a garden on. Mm-hmm. And then what's really nice is there are farms on it this year.
I know.
The Littlest Bird Farm, which is down the street from the Catholic Church.
I've seen it. I haven't been to it, but I've seen it. I have a friend who lives out there, and I went and had coffee last week, and I saw the sign, and I thought, oh, I don't have time right now, but I want to go check it out.
And they also have one of the, I think, at least in my little world, the best intact barn on the island.
Old?
Yeah, big. And can we say ASS?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, big ass barn. It's a big ass barn, and they that property, you know, it had a lot of potential, but boy, they had a vision, and it's really nice. It's a working farm for them, and they did a beautiful job. And then,
so if I'm going to the garden show, I get to go tour the farm.
Yeah.
And there will be people there that can tell me about it.
Right, doses and stuff.
Yes,
correct.
I just think it's wonderful. So we'll talk about that more next time.
Oh, that's true.
May,
we have a few months.
We have a few months, but I want people to think about how hard these gardeners on Vashon are working right now. The farmers are working really hard getting ready for the farmers market, which is going to open in a few weeks. And there's just all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, the first weekend of May for the farmers market.
For farmers market, yeah. That'll be really fun. I hope it's a big, successful.
And that's also the first, weekend of the Viva studio tour. It starts the first two weekends of May.
There's lots going on. Here we're gearing up for the winter season. You know, it seems like we come out of this dark doldrum season of, oh my God, is it ever going to stop raining? All of a sudden we hit the ground running and we don't stop until probably October.
Yeah.
You know, it's just everything is blooming and growing, and pretty soon it'll be pumpkin time before we know it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, so is there anything else you want to tell us about the farmers, the garden tour?
That there's another farm on it too, Aggie's Farm.
Oh, Aggie's.
Everybody loves Aggie's.
I love Aggie's Farm.
And they've got another thing going on coming up. If you go to like Vashon events, Grow and Gather,
yes,
I believe.
Yeah, it's an event.
Yeah. And so, they always do. They always bring it home. Yeah.
You know, I want to backtrack a little bit. Can we circle back to, let's go back to cakes, back to cooking.
I love cakes.
We were talking recently about reverse creaming.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if everybody knows what that is or why it works.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that. Do you reverse cream your cakes, or does it depend on the cake?
You know, I started doing it because I wanted to try it. It was because I always sort of bake my cakes in a conventional manner.
Mm-hmm.
In a conventional manner, for those of you who are interested, it's basically you're doing the wet stuff first, which is the eggs,
the cream,
sugar,
milk,
the butter,
your
what you call creaming, creaming the soft stuff.
Usually you do the sugar and the butter together, and you cream that cream.
And then add the eggs.
Yes.
Yeah.
One at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you take your leaveners, like your baking powder, baking soda, and your flour.
And your salt.
And you're going on a lower speed, and you're mixing those slowly. You don't want to... Into the creamy good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that creates your batter.
Mm-hmm.
And... But reverse creaming is basically putting like a pie dough where you put the fat into the flour.
Directly. It doesn't go in the creamy mixture.
No.
Right.
And then you mix it all up together, and you basically have crumbs like a pie dough practically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put your liquids in.
And
it actually makes fluffier cakes.
It makes fluffier, lighter cakes, I think.
It does, yeah.
And I've also experienced that when you do reverse creaming, it makes a flatter top.
Yes.
Because, do you know why that is? It's because the fat, the butter, coats the granules of flour, which prevents them from releasing the gluten, which then makes the dome.
Muy interesante.
Yeah. That I just think that's really interesting. The science behind baking is so crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And well, that's fascinating.
I know. I think so. I do too. And I don't have a recommendation one way or the other. I mean, either way is right. Yeah. But if you're a cake baker out there, it's just kind of fun to play and see, because you can take any recipe and do it that way. Mm-hmm. The recipe is the same. You're going to find the list of ingredients the same. It's the method that's different. And am I correct on that?
Yeah.
I think
you are.
Right. Yeah.
And it's also one of the things too, like when you're baking cakes, people tend to overbake them because your cake is still baking when you take it out.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I've watched a couple pastry chefs, mm-hmm. and they've said that if you're in the very middle of the cake and there's still a little bit of moistness to mm-hmm. it, you're okay. And I still don't, it's hard for me to believe
really
that.
Hard.
It is.
Because there's nothing worse than getting in the middle of a cake and it's
like, oh,
ick.
Yeah, dough crater.
Dough.
Yeah.
It's awful.
So my next cake, I'm going to try that and sort of push it. But I also do it like when I make like fruit breads and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, like date mm-hmm. bread and that. Mm-hmm. I'll pull it, I'll put a toothpick in, and the last time I let it sit on the counter. And if you let it sit on the counter, it works, you know, where it's...
Like don't unpan it?
Yeah, don't unpan it, let it sit there and keep, you know, an hour.
Oh, really?
And then it all sort of, yeah. But it's not like it's a sopping goo.
Right.
It's not a super clean toothpick.
Well, speaking of overbaking, I did that thing today. I did just that thing. I went home.
Is that where you like hold your chin and you're going, so dry, so water?
I had an abundance of lemons left over from the weekend. And I went home after visiting with you this morning. I went home and I thought, oh, I just don't want to. I had cleaning and vacuuming and things on my list to do today. And I thought, I'd rather bake a cake. So I did. I made a lemon loaf cake.
I bring you kale and I don't get cake.
I know. I didn't bring any cake. I didn't even think about it.
Chris.
But anyway, I had the very thing you're talking about happen in that it just didn't look done enough to me. And then by the time I took it out of the oven, it literally had a crust on the bottom of it. You know, like a crust.
Like a doorstop.
Not really like a doorstop. No, it's still edible.
Okay.
But it's not soft and tender on the bottom like you like it. It was just a little bit of toasty, toasty on the bottom.
You can do to rectify that. Or not rectify, but sort of like make it more better than it.
Oh, like drizzle?
Yeah, you can do like a sugar water syrup mm-hmm. And put some like a liqueur in it, like mm-hmm. a Grand Marnier or a Kirsch.
As if I had that.
I've seen your liquor cabinet, Mildred.
I have a bottle of rum in there.
Exactly.
And a bottle of cognac that's got about a half an inch in it.
Exactly. I was in my liquor cabinet, which is a joke. It's basically my pantry with like four bottles.
I know.
And I used
have some good
for
wine,
cooking,
though.
You know,
oh,
for,
yeah.
for cooking.
Yeah.
And I found cassis.
Ooh.
And I thought, cassis, my God, when did I?
It's 1982.
You are so close. It was my first trip to Europe.
Oh my goodness.
And I think it was like 1989.
Well, that cassis was big in the 80s.
Yeah.
It really was.
It was. And I brought it back from France. Mm-hmm. It's still in my cabinet.
Oh my Lord. Well, I still have a bottle of pink gin in my freezer that I brought from Amsterdam 3 years ago.
Wow.
It's pink.
But does it taste different?
Oh, it's so good.
It tastes like a little elephant. It'll
be a summertime drink. I'll have you over for summertime.
Chris, this is where we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've heard all this before.
I'll
nod,
have you and Chris.
Nod politely.
Uh-huh. We can do happy hour at my house. We'll have pink gin.
But that'd be good. Or you can bring it over to my house. I got a porch.
Yeah. We could do that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that was what I wanted to talk about was the cake thing.
No, that's an interesting thing. You know what's funny? Like everybody out there listening is what's really great about cooking is you can like there are rules, but you know what? You don't have to be bound to them. You can always try stuff. Try, mm-hmm. you know, I think some of the best things I've made have been from kind of goof ups. And,
well, I think that with cooking.
Yeah.
Baking, not so much.
Baking,
I can fudge a little on, what you cannot fudge on is the amount of fat and flour and liquid.
Yeah, you want to keep you those proportions
that, but
similar.
You can fudge on the flavorings
flavor
and, maybe extra lemon rind or
exactly.
That kind, you know, that stuff.
But yeah, like flavor enhancements,
right,
I would say. Yeah,
right.
You have some leeway.
But you have to pay attention to the recipe.
True.
You just have to. And as a plug for my friend Rose Barenbaum, wrote the book called The Cake Bible. Do you have that one?
I do.
Isn't she wonderful?
Well, it's because she really, you know, a lot of times when you're doing recipes, if I can be lazy and I don't really want to read the whole recipe.
Yeah.
But, excuse me, must be kale throat. she explains it really well, like
why?
Why?
Why do you have to do it this way?
And it's really nice. Like sometimes you just say mix the batter and you're going like, mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. She'll tell you like 3 minutes and stop.
And stop.
Yeah.
Like, don't go 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just stop. And she also, what I love is she offers you both kinds of measurements and she offers you cups as well as
grams
and pounds and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So her recipes are, I met her at an International Association of Culinary Professionals in Portland quite a few years ago, and she's just as warm and wonderful as her cakes look, you know. And she knows everything about baking cakes.
Boy, that's
so that's
nice.
That's the Cake Bible, it's called. And then there's some, she wrote a second one after that too, but they're big, thick, huge volumes.
They are,
they're huge,
ginormous.
And actually they're like coffee table books. The photography's beautiful in them and you get an education.
You know who else has a cool book for sweets and cakes?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know he did anything sweet like that, is Ottolenghi.
Oh, yes.
Has a, I don't know if it's new, but it's the first time I saw it. And Jennifer, my friend Jennifer, she made a cake at Easter that was from that cookbook. Mm-hmm. And then she got it at the library. And I said, oh, good, I'm going to get in line for that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just simply called Sweets.
Oh, nice.
And it's in his style, you know, because he's such a clever.
Oh, he combines flavors that you would
exactly.
never think of.
He's like flavor king.
Yeah.
And
you know, I always imagined him as an old man. I don't know why. I just think of him as kind of this old rotund kind of guy.
Yeah.
And he's young and he's handsome and he's trim and he's different looking.
Urbane and
he's
all that.
All these brilliant things. I love his cookbooks.
And when they interview him, he seems sort of inordinately kind,
mm-hmm.
which
I think he is.
His cooking is that way too.
Yeah, I think he is for sure.
Well, let's invite him to something.
Okay, maybe he'll come be a guest on the show.
You know, I always have those little fantasies like where, like some bad movie where you go, dear Barack Obama, I've been following you.
We were thinking about you the other day.
And we thought you'd want to join our cooking show. We promised not to talk politics.
That would be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we should talk a little bit about what's going on in Vashon in the restaurant world.
Coolio, man.
Because I know that you know more than I do in that regard. I will say, I went to Sporty's for breakfast on Sunday.
Oh, what'd you have?
On Easter Sunday, I went for breakfast at Sporty's.
Oh, cool.
Well,
oh, because you had your Easter on Saturday.
We had Easter on Saturday this year, yeah. So the kids and I went, and we had giant blueberry pancakes.
Uh-huh.
Which were a hit, of course.
They
really
are hysterical.
Good. And, you know, I just have to plug Sporty's because it is a diner food.
I love Sporty's.
And they've remodeled it. It's gorgeous. The service is impeccable. I mean, they're happy people. They come to your table and they're happy to see you. And, you know, and they bring bacon.
No, I agree. I love to go, especially what I do is I love to go in the summer and I'm sort of eavesdropping.
Mm-hmm.
And you're watching people who are visiting
right.
the island
right.
and they're eating there and they're not quite sure what to
they don't know
order. No, but here's the thing. I'll try to make it quick. My favorite thing I've seen happen, watch twice I've seen this when I've been in there, where like the newbie, lovely newbie person will say, mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm going to get 2 pancakes. And then the waitress will say, or the server will say, well, they're really big. You might just want one. They go, no, I'm really hungry. And they said, yeah, but they're really big.
They're really big.
And the person will say, no, that's good. I'm cool. Two sounds good.
Okay.
So then she delivers. This happens with both occasions I saw this. And they put it down and they just look down like they're
well,
and
it has to be on 2 plates.
It's huge. And she looks at the waitress and she said, it's huge. It's big. And she goes, told you so.
Uh-huh. I know.
It's two of them. Two of them are just like waiting
Sebastian
the place down.
Had never been there, and so you know the sign in the front says pancakes bigger than your plate or something, uh-huh. big as a plate or something like that. And so when it came, he just kind of stared at it and he said, well, that's bigger than the plate. It was really good. So we did that. And the other thing that I have done is I was really hungry last week. I was out running errands and mm-hmm. I was hungry. I didn't want to go home and cook anything. I didn't have time. I act like I was all harried and stressed, and I wasn't. I was just going around Vashon.
You're not that hairy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum.
So I stopped at Thriftway mm-hmm. and went to the deli. And I thought, I'm just going to see what's going on here.
It's fun to see what their specials are during the day.
Well, that happened to be, I don't know, I guess it was a Friday. It must have been Good Friday. And they had halibut sandwich on special. And I'm telling you, it was the best halibut sandwich I've had in a long time.
Oh, that's a nice.
And it was battered and fried and on a beautiful bun.
Sweet. What accompanied it?
Like? Well, that's one disappointment is that it has on it is iceberg lettuce and tartar sauce.
You probably could request a.
You can, but if you want pickles, if you want dill pickles, which I do, it's a dollar extra.
What?
Which is kind of high for like four pickles, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was really good, and I didn't get any extra because I thought, well, I'm just going to eat it and see what it tastes like this way.
Sure.
And it was fine. I would rather have a tomato and a piece of cheese and a.
Pickle.
Actually, the cheese I don't need, but the pickle and the tomato are really good on
there.
Yeah,
be like an upscale
so,
filet of fish.
I took it out and went to Ober Park.
That's great. And it is a halibut season right now.
Is it?
Yeah,
is
they're offering fresh halibut, not frozen.
It's so good. It's
at
my
the markets
favorite fish.
At IGA and Thriftway.
Are they?
And
oh,
I don't know about down the road by
the
Eagles,
fish stand.
But I bet they are too.
Well, I'll have to hit that this weekend. They have the best fish at
that
fish stand.
They have great fish, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just an idea for people. You know, when you're out and about and you don't feel like you want to spend an hour in a restaurant mm-hmm. ordering and eating and all that. We have so many little wonderful places to go grab a bite and take it.
Yeah.
You know? Speaking of taking it,
mm-hmm.
you were telling me about Bramble House has changed its name.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a different thing going on there now.
Yeah, a friend of mine, Sam, was kind enough to take me to dinner. I must have looked pretty pathetic that week. Like, anyway, but he was really sweetheart. He said, you want to go have dinner? I go, yeah, sure. And it was great because, number one, the food was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked the setup. It was a more casual venue. So you didn't feel like I feel like I could probably go in there now in my stylish t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
but you go in, you get a menu and you order up at the maitre d' place or where the
okay
the
server station
thank you, and you can just keep coming back up and ordering more and then they bring it to your table, but
mm-hmm.
It's really nice because we split a lot of stuff, like they had these really clever salads, like this really great beet salad and a potato radicchio salad. Austin had crazy good dessert, sticky pudding and panna cotta. And then we split a crispy chicken dish with, I think, cannelloni beans in it. It was really nice.
So you can eat there if you want to, or you can get it to go.
Oh, yeah. And that's
because they have a pre-fee thing.
Yeah. So then there's another thing you can do. Like if you want to do takeout, you could probably mm-hmm. do anything on their menu, but they have it set up where they have a special. And it's $30 per person,
mm-hmm.
and you get an entree, a salad, and a dessert.
Wow!
For $30,
wow!
And but it was great. It was really, and it was fun because I feel like I could hop in there and go like I'm just going to have a small salad and go and
yeah. And she has a happy hour too.
She does. She has different happy mm-hmm. hours where things mm-hmm. where drinks are less. And
you have to look it up on the web. It's called Ramble.
No, yeah, that's the big thing is everyone still remembers it as Bramble House,
but it's Ramble.
It's Ramble, no B, and it's no restaurant B. Ramble Restaurant.
Okay, kids, guess what? We're out of time.
Man.
And we didn't even get to page two.
No, exactly.
I would just like to say thank you to our listeners for listening to us babble on about food. It was great being with you. And we'll see you again next month when we're going to talk about picnics.
That's if I survive Linda taking
stop.
Taking out to the woodshed.
Okay. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Take care.
Bye-bye.